The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on virtually anything you want to talk about. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You know, perhaps you've had a problem. You've done things that you thought might work, and you come up with the same old thing. You know, you're failing each time. It just continues the process, and you throw your hands up and wonder what you can do about it. Well, that's why we do Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, and that's the whole purpose of trying to give you as much information as we possibly can. And in that light, we're actually going to talk about a subject today that is very significant, one that all of you kind of, you know about and hear about, and some of you who are really into natural medicine and alternative methods want to try to go to. Well, we're talking about a $20 billion a year industry, and what we're talking about is herbal medications. And a lot of you think they're much safer than drugs. See, they are, but they have also side effects. But once you'd like to know the differences between different medications and different drugs, the substitutes and so forth, but even being able to, go to the store and figure out what to get. Well, this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, we're going to do a presentation called Hands-On Use of Herbs. Yeah, hands-on use of herbs. And who's better than more qualified to be able to talk about that subject, none other than our naturopathic physician, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Dr. Pina, welcome again.
Hello.
Hey. I apologize again.
That's okay. You don't have to tell everybody about that.
No, that I messed up today? No, I won't. not even a little bit that I left you standing at Tyson's 2 and I didn't pick you up. But we won't talk about that. Anyway, this Wednesday evening, the 30th. God, the month is gone. The summer's gone. We're going back to school. And that's important because, you know, we have mothers and everybody. We're coming into the winter season. There's a lot that can be done from a natural point of view, but you really have to know the differentiations of things and what's taking place relative to that pain that you have, that feeling of lethargy, that toxic feeling that you have, and that overwhelm. And then you go to the store and you read some little thing and you grab that, and it either doesn't work or it makes you sicker. And let's talk about that today. Are herbs safe? You know, are herbal medicines, you know, because they sell them in health food stores and drug stores and so forth, are they safe?
It's a good question. I would say, like you mentioned earlier, overall, yes, but you got to, like anything, you got to know how to use it. I mean, water, to some extent, you drink too much of it, it can be dangerous. So the same thing goes with herbs as well, too. And as great as it is that there's more access, there's more information, the availability of different types of herbal medicine, everything from herbal tinctures to teas to homeopathics to topicals, you can find a lot of that now in your health food stores, and it's readily available, and even in doses that it used to not be available in. But it doesn't mean that just because it's on the shelf that it's the first thing that you should grab to. There's a time and place for those particular substances, and the more you know about that, the better. Then there's a time and place when you have to seek medical help and know why things are combined together. A lot of times you don't see herbs given individually. This one herb for this thing, it's in combination with other herbs and stuff. So they work synergistically together. And that's where we have to educate the public more, and the public needs to know when to come seek us out and really understand what they're doing with herbal medications, just like they do with supplements and or medications when they say, ask your pharmacist if you have side effects, or they give you the pamphlet. That doesn't happen as much with herbal medicine, so we have to be a little bit more careful just thinking it's a natural product, it should be fine for me.
Well, natural is not natural is not natural. And if we go to the place of, you know, most medications, if you turn the clock back, came from herbal derivatives. They were from aspirin, you know, to many different types of things that we use on an ongoing basis in our practice. And they are, in fact, medications. You can become very allergic to an herb as well.
Well, there's about 160 herbs that have been, are basically the base of a lot of different medications. And some of them are not just your cold and flu season type of stuff that we think of, you know, a lot of people go get herbal medicine for that. These are the basis for cardiovascular drugs. These are the basis for chemotherapy drugs, for helping liver support. It's amazing how over time different constituents have been pulled out of the herbs, the rest of the herb left behind, but there's a lot left to it. So when you look at it, there's a lot to learn about herbal medicine that we've already known, but we've been taking little bits and pieces of it, and then different research has to come out too to kind of say, do you use the whole plant? Do you use certain parts of the plant? Just like a lot of people will graduate towards echinacea for boosting cold immune system, but it's in the same family as the ragweeds. So if you have ragweed allergies, there's a potential if you're using it long term that you could develop issues with that.
Well, even short term, you know, we've tested patients and they test, and we always test through manual muscle testing. The problem is that because of the sensitivities to different crossover chemistries, if you will, you have to be very, very appropriate and knowledgeable, and they don't give you all those pieces. So somebody goes out and they say, well, it didn't work for me, or even worse, it made me sick, or I felt lousy for days, or, you know, and it goes on. Herbs are not something that you just go to the store, grab it off the shelf, and decide, well, this is going to work for me. Not that way. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie Pina, my guest in studio, will be your host on Talking About Herbs. The title of the program is Hands-On Use of Herbs, and she's really going to show you and present, and there's going to be some demonstrations as well. This is a class that you really want to get your head around. You know, for those of you who have never met Dr. Stephanie, she is an amazing encyclopedia of knowledge when it comes to this area. She's a doctor of naturopathic medicine. Join us. All you have to do is call 703-698-7117 and tell the staff you want to register. Or more importantly, and quicker and more effectively, go online, go to rosellcare.com, and there's a little tag that says register now. You'll see the ad for the program. Rosellcare.com. That's rosellecare.com. You know, we're going to get into taking a lot of calls today on the subject, but let's talk about the differentiation. When should somebody ever consider an herb over medication?
Well, definitely there's situations when a person can no longer take medication. You know, I remember when I was working for one of the Chinese herbal companies, one of the herbal products that we had put out was basically one that worked for as much as liver cirrhosis. And so they couldn't take interferon therapy. So they really had no other choice, or they didn't respond to it. So there are cases that when patients come in, they can't respond to any other medication. They have trouble and side effects from other medications. A lot of the times, it's not that complicated. When people go in there, they don't want to necessarily go running to their doctor for antibiotics or antivirals. And so they're looking for not a quick fix, but they're looking for something to help boost their immune system to get their digestive tract going. So there's a lot of different things that you can start with, but you have to know when to draw that line and come in and see somebody.
Or, you know, here's an area of play that patient comes in and they're on all types of medications for the heart. They're on Toprol. They could be on a blood thinner. They can be on a statin and so forth. And they say, hey, listen, I read this article about hawthorn berry extract, and it's good for heart problems, and it's good for somebody who has. What would you tell them? And how would you coach them into making a consideration? Is there a shift, or is that one that's over the top?
Well, I think that happens a lot, first of all.
It does.
That's a pretty common thing, you know?
Every day.
It's going to be the herb du jour, basically. It's either hawthorn or turmeric or ginkgo. And, you know, and it's what's funny is I always say it's the G's that get, the G herbs that get it. The ginseng, the ginkgo, the garlic.
Golden seal.
A lot of them all have to do with cardiovascular stuff, too. So if it starts with the letter G, make sure you talk to somebody first. But a lot of the times you have to sit down and take the rest of their case. What else is going on? Maybe you have to look at their lab reports as well, too. You have to understand where they're coming from. They might have labs that show that they're having blood clotting issues. And then is herbs going to be the best thing? Do they need to start someplace with diet as well? That might be an easier way to do it, because if they can't digest things, giving a bunch of supplements isn't going to help either. They're just going to pass through. So herbs and food basically are like herbal medicine combined together. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do without having to run for that, capsule or that tincture over the counter. So you have to sit down and talk with the patient one-on-one, see where they are. If patients are in trials or if they're under certain medications, you can't just give herbs out. You have to be careful with what it is and be able to monitor them and know that you're going to be able to set up a relationship that that patient can come back to you and say, if I'm not feeling right, this is what's happening. And you can ask them, well, what was the dose that you took? Did you do anything else? What else has changed and what's different?
Well, the problem also exists, we talked about in the beginning of the program, that you have so many crossover chemistries. And we said that many of the medications today are nothing more than extracts of some herbal products. Subsequently, when you take an herb that can be similar to the drug and you're taking the drug already, you got a problem. You have a tremendous exponential application of that chemistry that could cause some significant problems.
Yeah, there are herbs that they know, and there's a couple that you keep hearing over and over about. Another one being St. John's wort for some patients people will take it for mild to moderate depression. Also it works homeopathically for nerve pain, but that herb has been known to increase how quickly other medications enter the body or how quickly they get broken down. So if you're taking a medication and an herb that affects the liver detoxification process, what can happen is now the medication that you had that was regulated is going through your body system quicker or it's slowing down, which can cause a lot of different side effects.
My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 30th of August at the Roselle Center for Healing, 7 p.m., Dr. Stephanie Pina. She's going to be talking about hands-on use of herbs. Dr. Pina is a doctor of naturopathic medicine and knows this field better than most. If you'd like to know what you can do that might be different, if you'd like to find out if you're applying things different, this is going to be really a hands-on program. All you need to do is go to RoselleCare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, RoselleCare.com, and register. Just hit the tab, say register, and you'll fill out a little note. These classes are a gift to the community. It's a way of educating you to be able for you to take control of your own health. You know, to do something other than that is not okay. You just don't go down the blind and follow the white doctor deity and says, take this stuff for the rest of your life. There's ways of turning it around. And what Dr. Pina said earlier is really important. Herbal medications or drugs, they all start with changing your lifestyle first in the application. You know, we're talking about these types of medications, and any medication, it has to be cleared through the liver. All medications, all herbs with chemistry, you have to have a liver that's working the way it's supposed to. But if you're taking medications, for example, if you have somebody who has any of the hepatitis patterns, or if you have somebody that is having problems with liver clearance, you have to be careful with a drug called Silmarillion, which is, a milk thistle. It can exacerbate problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very similar to the way St. John's wort is. It's going to essentially not bind up, but it's going to affect the way the liver can process other things as well, too. A lot of people will find that on the shelves and just start taking it because they want to support their liver, but it may not be particularly suited for them in particular. Another thing that does that in the liver as far as processing is also when you get a pamphlet or many of the medications you have that says don't take with grapefruit juice or within within 2 hours, but typically if they're going to take it within it, that's usually a reasonable amount. But grapefruit and grapefruit juice basically does that. It speeds up the liver. So you're helping the liver in one aspect of it. You're not helping it by putting it with the medication and wondering what the side effects of the medication is going to be.
You know, there's reason for all these things, but the whole idea is to know what the reason is and to be able to have enough information to be able to talk intelligently, not only to your physician, but when you walk into a store to ask the right questions. If you're going to, the drugstore to pick up your herbs or any kind of vitamins, I think you're making a mistake. You need to have other guidance. We're coming up to a break and then we're going to start taking some calls. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. My guest, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. Call 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening at the Roselle Center for Healing. That's the 30th of August, 7 p.m. Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine, going to be talking about hands-on use of herbal medications. And I said medications for a reason, because herbs are medicines. They're used to do many, many different things, and you can't take them lightly. In so many cases, many of you just kind of, you know, you set yourself up for a problem. Old medications came from herbal uses. This is going to be a really how-to type of thing, and distinguishing when you can do things on your own and when you really need guidance. And you have to be careful with liver and heart and kidneys and so forth. You know, it's not as easy as just grabbing something off the shelf. Join us this Wednesday evening. We're going to go to the phones. Wes, you've been extremely patient. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my phone call. So I have a question about this product called SEAC tea. It was created back, I guess, in the 1920s by a nurse named Renee M. Cassey, and it has several herbs in it, like burdock root, slippery elm, inner bark, sheep sorrel, and Indian rhubarb root. It's supposed to be good for inflammation and, you know, that type of stuff. Have you ever heard of it?
Absolutely. It's been around forever. SEAC tea initially was formulated for autoimmune problems, and particularly used widespread in its original form for cancers. Any kind of malignancy and tumor formation and so forth, and it worked extremely, extremely well in combination with diet and some other things. But this has been out there. You have to make sure you get the right product if it's going to be useful. Burdock is a blood cleaner, and it works on the liver as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, the basic kind of use for cancer and stuff was used also because it was the idea that it was cleansing the blood and moving circulation, so it was able to work on these tumors and inflammation. And it has been out there for quite a while, and it's pretty available over the public because different people have taken the base formulation and then either modified it slightly for their own product use, or they've kind of put it out there. And the hard thing that comes when you buy some of this stuff too is if you don't get a good company in there, you don't know if you're getting what's listed on the label, and you also don't know the strengths of it. So a lot of times a tea like that, if you're using it short term, it may be okay. But essentially when you're starting to get something that could potentially treat a cancer, you may want to actually discuss that with a doctor or someone who knows a little bit more about those individual herbs, because they do tend to work a lot more on the liver as well too.
You know, the interesting thing about SEAC, they make it in a liquid concentration. It first came out in a tea, in a very, very strong tea. Going back probably 35 years ago or so now, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Institute was one of the first to look at this, and there's a lot of behind the scenes work that's done with many things, but as Dr. Pina and I were talking about earlier, sometimes they're looking for the magic bullet, the ingredient within the substance. See, the problem is that pharmaceutical companies, big pharma, cannot copyright an herb. And anything that is natural, anything that is in its whole form, they cannot put their stamp on and say that we own it. So they have a tendency to try to find the piece that is active. The problem is that that piece is in combination with other things, other bioflavonoids, other catalysts, and so forth. And it doesn't work unless you have that piece. And subsequently, when you extract it from the, you know, its original form, now it sets up a whole system of side effects. But SEAC is, you know, it has tons of stuff in it. As you said, you know, it has rhubarb, and it has turkey rhubarb. By the way, it's a distinguishing situation. There's sheep sorrel in it, and they're in combination. They work extremely, extremely well. But it's if you go in and you really do the research on this stuff, it's been looked at by many different institutions. Again, the problem is that the reason that you don't see it in common use is because the drug companies cannot own it. They cannot support it. So subsequently, they're going to put it down there and ignore it, or they're not going to talk about it at all. Wes, I hope that helps you. Appreciate your phone call. We see this all the time.
We do. And what's interesting is it's interesting to see some of these products. And there's a lot of these kind of what I would say the old school products and combinations that are out there that people will bring in. It's got history, so they can look it up. It's maybe fairly available, and there may be reputable companies making it. But what are you taking out of the herb at that point? What is it, just that individual component? If there's four different herbs in there, how do they interact with anything else that you're doing with your diet and as well? One of the main things too is when people start to combining a whole bunch of other herbs, or they're taking it just for general purposes, herbs are a little bit difficult to find out, is it doing something that could harm you over time or not? Is it giving you the effect that you want? If you're just decreasing inflammation, are you supposed to feel better with it after a day, after 2 days, after 6 months? So some of the herbal trials that they've done have quite a bit of time behind them, so you have to take them for a while, but other ones are very short term.
You know, the slippery elm that is in that product is widely used. It's in a category thing called an emulsogen, and it's a healer. It dampens inflammatory reactions, and it has a beta-sesterol in it as well, which decreases inflammation in guys and prostate problems and is used very extensively for that. We're coming up to a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, my guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, none other than Dr. Stephanie Pina, our doctor of naturopathic medicine. Dr. Stephanie is going to be talking about herbal medications. Actually, the title of the program is Hands-On Use of Herbs. 7 p.m., August the 30th. Give us a call, or better yet, just go online at rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, rozellecare.com, and hit the tag that says register now, and you'll be all set and ready to go, and they'll confirm with you to make sure, because remember, we only have a certain capacity, and once that capacity is filled, then we have to say, sorry, or if there's enough of you, we'll do it again. But nevertheless, you want to be first come, first serve. And remember, these are a gift to you. It's our way of educating the community straight up. We're talking about herbal medications and the way things work. I want to go to the phones right away, and then we'll get back into topic and give the rest of you a chance to put your questions together. Todd, thank you for calling. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, I was... interested to find out about my wife has Hashimoto's disease, and I wanted to find out she's having difficulty locating a specialist that concentrates in specifically Hashimoto's disease, and wondering if herbs have any type of effect there, or what would be your recommendation for finding a specialist that.
Well, the short end of the treatment, or the short end of the question, is yes, herbs can help. But you found us already. Dr. Pina is very on cue with this and works in conjunction with our functional medical nutrition department. Hashimoto's is a thyroid immune process condition. When you do lab work, when you have a high level of TPO, which is thyroid peroxidase levels that rise, that's by definition with the other areas, it's a thyroid Hashimoto's condition. Now, one of the things, and I'm going to let Dr. Pina grab and run with this, that in any Hashimoto's pattern, you have to eliminate grains across the board, particularly gluten grains, but you have to eliminate grains. If you don't do that and you don't heal the intestinal tract and you don't clear the liver out, you don't have a prayer of turning this around. And there also can be some neurological implications from problems within the spine, but nevertheless, that's where you begin. Dr. Pina.
Well, what's interesting too, there are some herbs that can help, but it helps out in different ways. And so there's not going to be one that you run out there and say, oh, it's the Hashimoto herbal formulation. And the reason why, there are different herbs that support the production of thyroid hormone, and there are different hormones that are also used, are different herbs that are used to basically help decrease some of the inflammation. So you have to treat it from a multiple angle approach, and that's where you really have to work with a professional and also be able to monitor not only symptoms but also some of the lab work as well that goes along with it, making sure it was diagnosed properly, and then also seeing how other things like different types of medications have worked as well too. We often hear a lot about low thyroid and not as much about autoimmune thyroid, where it's kind of stimulated up. So essentially, there are combinations that work, but it does have to go together with dietary changes and then monitoring as well too, since things can fluctuate back and forth pretty quickly.
The biggest problem that you have with so many different types of thyroid conditions is that they're improperly diagnosed. Physician goes out and he runs a T4 and TSH, and that's, if you're lucky, they'll do the both of them. But there's many other pieces. You have to look at T4. You have to look at free T4. You have to look at free T3 and total T3 and T3 uptake and reverse T3, and then your TPOs, and then your thyroid immune modules. So without that, you're chasing your tail. You have to know where the problem is breaking down. So, for example, T4, which is thyroxine, 80% of it is converted in the liver. If the liver's not working, or if the liver is toxic, for whatever reason, you can't convert T4 to T3, which is, T3 is the active hormone. So if the active hormone isn't getting in, you got a problem. Now, what will stop it from getting in? Inflammatory reactions that can do to many different things. You can have a chronic pain pattern and have an inflammatory level. Not only will thyroid hormone not absorb, but you can have all kinds of other hormones not getting in as well. So it's not a simple thing of going out. There are herbs that work, but you have to, I'll withdraw the statement. There are herbs that support and help, but you got to know which pathway is involved. It may be supporting the thyroid directly, but you got to knock down the inflammatory reaction, which means you got to knock down the autoimmune problem, and then go in and support the other things, which may be the amino acid tyrosine. It may be some iodine. It may be trace minerals that need to be involved, but you have to have the support mechanisms that are in there. Todd, I'm sorry that it's not a simple, straightforward answer, but each patient comes with similarities, but they come with differences as well, and you have to know what the differences are really to support the patient. So this Wednesday evening would be a great time for you and your wife to come to the office and sit and listen to Dr. Pina and ask her very, very specific questions relative to Hashimoto's and what herbal preparations may be supportive and what may not. And she'll ask you a ton of questions as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to think about it too, because when we think about herbal medicine in general, there's so many different parts of the herbs. And when you look at the back of the label, it might say it comes from the rhizome, it comes from the root or the aerial part. Each one of those parts of the herbs can actually have a different medicinal property. So when you're using an herb for a certain, indication, or you're going in, one of my favorite ones is like stinging nettles. When you look at the leaf is really good as almost an anti-inflammatory and antihistamine to help out with respiratory issues. But if you look at the root's really good for basically helping with hormone issues, including the balance between estrogen and testosterone. So you're going to use different parts of plants. There's different chemical parts in there that are really important, and all the other things of how they're extracted too. Are you taking it as a herbal extract that's been alcohol base? Is it in a water base like a tea, like you're getting a dry loose leaf herb and using that as a tea, or are you getting it in even a glycerin base? So patients that come in that have different problems with possibly even breaking down alcohol can't go out and necessarily get an alcohol-based herb, even though it could be the best thing that they think for them. So our biochemistry has to be taken into consideration, as well as the plant's biochemistry and really all the aspects of the different healthcare conditions that we're covering.
You know, with this condition, it goes to lifestyle, probably far more than many other different conditions, because the thyroid is tied into multi organ systems within the body. It hits every tissue as far as thyroid hormone is concerned, every tissue in the body. But if you can't get the pituitary to work, which produces TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, there's a reason for that, and that may be tied into your fight-flight system, your adrenal system. So you have to really know the patient. So you start with diet. You clean the diet up. You clean the allergic reactions. You heal the intestinal tract up. You begin to detoxify the liver. You support the thyroid with the things that it's missing. It might be selenium. It may be, other trace minerals that the body's negligent in receiving, simply because of the fact that you're not providing them, or they can't transport, one of the two. So you have to look at all those things. And when we get into herbal preparations, Dr. Pina, that's consistent across the board. A lot is not necessarily better. Less is more sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to break it down. I mean, when you look at it, in different cultures, whether it's Ayurvedic medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, which includes things like acupuncture, but herbal medicine and dietary therapy as well, when they use herbs, a lot of the old school formulas, and we're going way back now, the original old school formulas that they were coming up with, and the original herbs were basically things that help move things out of the body. You know, they help you purge, they help you move the bowels, they would move these toxins out of the body. You know, and then came along the idea that we have to support the body as well too. If you're constantly moving things out of the body or constantly detoxing, the body doesn't have a chance to heal. So they had to start using herbs in combination to help out with things that are going to support the body, like the digestive tract. So there's a real good crossover between any kind of herbal therapy and dietary support at the same time too. It's not just about, are they getting absorbed, but what's going on in that digestive tract?
I know this Wednesday evening, the 30th, Dr. Pina is going to be doing a presentation hands-on with herbal remedies. And the whole idea is to really get you to understand the true applications of herbs. Again, I said less is more in so many different situations. If you do too much, if you think, you know, more is better, not necessarily. You could be shutting down other systems, other pathways. And now you end up with, you know, a problem that you weren't counting on. Same thing with medications. They have side effects. And, you know, you have to be very, very careful of the concentrations and the like. There's a herb that I like to use for many conditions, and it's called Podiarco. And Podiarco, Ipsiro, Lapacho, Tehebo tea, they're all the same herb, just different names. And it's the bark of a tree in South America. This is a very powerful immune stimulator. And I know you've used it over the years, you know, with other patients, but you have to be careful with Podiarco as well, relative to the concentration of Podiarco. It's very supportive. It'll help kill fungus. It deals with certain bacterium, but it upregulates the immune system dramatically. And, you know, if you have, women have used it to douche with vaginal yeast infections. But if you can use any of these things, but if you don't change the environment, none of them work.
Right. And a lot of the times when we hear about the newest, latest, greatest herb of the day, and the one clinical trial background that comes out there and it's, you know, hyped up and everything, you know, a lot of times we have to actually see how it works on people. And what's interesting is some of the, I'll say even the weight loss and performance enhancing herbs and stuff that have come out there that have been in combinations and some of which have been banned over time, you know, weren't necessarily put on the market for that particular reason. They weren't used that way traditionally. Ephedra obviously being the biggest, baddest one out there that's still banned here in the U.S., but as a Chinese herbal practitioner, you can get it and to use it the normal way it was supposed to be used is for respiratory disease to help boost the immune system and to help promote sweating, but it was never meant to be used as the stimulant to basically raise your metabolism, and that's where there was big problems with Fenfam and the other one that was very similar, and to the point where, you know, deaths occurred because it was used way overboard.
Well, it was destroying the heart.
Yep, absolutely.
And people were dying, and they came up and they ended up with valvular problems and degeneration and so forth, and they're in the hospital having valve replacements. These herbs are not to be taken lightly. If you want to learn how to do these properly and the guidance that you need to have and how to educate yourself, mm-hmm. better yet, how you educate yourself. This Wednesday evening, don't miss this class. Go to rosellecare.com, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com. Register, and you'll get a confirmation. Or just give us a call, 703-698-7117. I promise you this is a class that you really need to have. How do you get through things? You know, whether it's a head cold and you want something like echinacea and vitamin C and zinc, you know, to knock it out, it might work, and it usually does. Echinacea is going to be very, very powerful. But if you're, you know, if you have sensitivities to allergens this time of the year, as Dr. Pina said earlier, not something that you necessarily want to embrace and because it can cause you other issues. Turmeric, as we talked about, or caller talked about earlier, turmeric decreases the inflammatory reaction, and it's a anti-inflammatory. It's a COX-2 pathway inhibitor. And it decreases inflammation and a lot of the pain that's associated with that. But it's not just a matter of stopping the cycle. You got to find out what's behind that. There's other pieces with turmeric as well, isn't there?
Right, and absolutely. And also, what's the cause of the pain and the inflammation to begin with? Is it something that can be controlled even without having to take anything? Can you use other therapies as well, too? And then, where do you start with turmeric? Do you start with it as the cooking spice? Is that going to be enough to essentially cause it? Probably not compared to some of the research coming out. It's going to be more in a supplement level. So making sure you're getting a good form and stuff. I know people who have made poultices and topical solutions out of turmeric paste, but it's working as an irritant, just like a capsaicin or a cayenne pepper type of application would. So there's a lot of different ways to use these herbs. It's just a matter of how you use them the most effectively and for how long to use them as well.
I mean, if you look up turmeric, it's a great, you know, talks about the anti-inflammatory pathways, but it also talks about, you know, shrinking tumors, and it talks about, you know, how it affects multiple systems within the body. There's several studies that have been done that it deals with polyps in the colon, that it'll actually shrink, you know, the polypoid formation within the large colon. Does that happen across the board? It happens often enough that even Johns Hopkins wanted to study it, and because it was formidable. So they did a study. They saw 60% of the time it shrank these polyps, and that 50% of the time the polyps stayed shrunk. So it's kind of an interesting paradigm. If you begin to look across the board, you also look at the side effects. There's a lot of anecdotal information that with turmeric, the right form of turmeric, that even Alzheimer's and brain plaquing and amyloid formation can be altered. They're significant herbal remedies, and you see this all the time. Let's talk about that just for a second, because we have about a minute. Somebody asked you about, are there herbs out there that can help dementia and Alzheimer's?
A lot of the ones that I think personally help tend to be ones that help promote circulation to the head, that have and also are able to affect the long-term memories and stuff too. And they work in good combination with some of the foods that we're eating, like essential fatty acids, so that you're working on it from multiple systems. The herbs that do that are going to be taken over time. It may not be something you're taking forever for the rest of your life, but it's certainly not going to be something that I take it for a week or I take it once, I'm going to notice a big effect on it. So timing really has a lot to do with how you're taking herbal therapy, because it's not as strong, which is a good thing, as some of the medications that are out there as well, too.
You know, it's important that we understand how things work hand in glove with each other, and that it's just not a magic bullet, a silver bullet type of thing. We're coming up to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the program that Dr. Pina is going to be presenting for you and for your education this Wednesday evening. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard, and you do the math wherever you're at. Those of you who are listening to us through Armed Forces Radio, and I don't know how you're hooking up, but you certainly are. I get the messages all the time. Thank you very much, and thank you for your service. Appreciate you more than you have any idea. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina, will be your host, your presenter, this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing, the 30th of August. And she's going to be talking about hands-on use of herbal medications and preparations and so forth. Seriously, this is a program that if you really want to know the guidelines, what you need to look for, and will herbs actually work for you, or are there other ways of making this happen, this is your opportunity. Please do that. By the way, we want to tell you that all of these programs, if you want to listen to them after this and go back and repeat them again, you can do it one of two ways. You can go to our website. You can go to rozellcare.com. Or you can go to rozellradio.com. Rozell Radio is a YouTube channel, and it has hundreds of these programs. Feel free. rozellradio.com, rozellcare.com. And just as a little note, coming up starting in September, Redskin, and it's not going to happen every week. There's seven times starting in September all the way through till the end of December that the program may be preempted, and we're going to be on a Saturday instead. If you go to Rozellcare, rozellecare.com, rozellcare.com, and you go down the page, and you'll find all the dates. They'll be right there. It says latest news, and it gives you all the switchovers, and the program will be at a 4 o'clock time slot on Saturday. So we'll let you know. They're already there, so just go check them out, and we'll join you on seven different weekends on Saturday during the Redskin season.
Yay, go football season.
Yay, football season. I have to be very kind because I treat some of those boys.
I won't be on the road with them when you're not in the office or in the studio, right?
Shh.
When I have to fill in.
When you have to fill in. That's right.
We'll know where you are.
when you're here, you'll know where I'm at.
All right.
Okay, good. Dr. Stephanie, talk to us about what the program's going to be back about this Wednesday evening.
Well, we're going to be talking about herbal medicine, different aspects of it. This is going to stand for you're going into your local health food store and, you see everything on the shelves, and what does one type of herb mean over the other? What is one type of formula? What's the homeopathics versus the alcohol tinctures? When is it appropriate to use herbs, and a little bit of the history behind how they got to where they're using now, looking at the history, looking at the conventional use of it, and why you're seeing certain herbs pop up over and over and over again. we're going to cover a couple of different conditions as well, too, that are popular. And then we're also, because it's hands-on, we're going to have to actually experience some herbs. So we've got some herbs to taste and test in there. We've got some different kind of I'm going to put you guys in the hot seat, basically, and make you think like an herbalist. Like, how would I combine this and come up with the best thing? So it's not just – it's a very interactive experience. We did this about – 4 or 5 years ago, and this is when we were recording some of the lectures, and there's actually one of them on there, so maybe we'll be able to pull that one up too. And I made people try to guess the herb and get used to the aspects that we don't take into consideration when you see it on the shelf. There's a lot that goes into that preparation. There's a lot that goes into the use of herbs and understanding it.
You know, you have to present very well. I have first cousins coming in from Toronto, and they're probably going to want to attend this lecture because they know more about natural medicine and herbal preparations up in that end of the world than we do here in this country. So it's going to be all good.
You can supply the garlic then.
I will supply the garlic. No, don't go to my Italian heritage here. We're coming up to that end of the program where we have to say we'll see you next week. You know, we try to give you as much information as we possibly can so you can be the decision maker in your health. That's why I wrote my program, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. You need to make sure that, you know, you take control. You're the captain of the ship. We'll see you next week. Same place, same old time. Love you all. Bye.